We're taking our Bible reading this morning from the New Testament at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. We'll commence our reading at the opening verse. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, in all the regions round about Jordan, were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think it not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. But I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. His fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor and gather the wheat into the garner. And he shall burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan and unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. God again will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Can we just bow together for prayer and then come to God's word? Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we do rejoice in the privilege of meeting in this manner around the scriptures of truth. And we thank that thy word is a living word. It's able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you'll still our hearts in these moments, and that our minds might be focused entirely upon Christ, the Lamb, in the midst of the throne. And as we come to thy word, we pray for help from thy sanctuary. Realize, Lord, we couldn't utter a word that would cause any anxious thought whatsoever. But we pray that the Holy Spirit will take thy truth and write it with authority upon the tables of our heart, that we might not be mere hearers of thy word, but that we might be doers of thy word, living it out in our daily life. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. For we ask this in the Savior's name. Amen. I'd like you to open your Bible with me again, please, at Matthew chapter 3. We're going to take as our text the first verse that we read together, where it says, In those days came John the Baptist Preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And the theme that I want to leave with you this morning is simply John the Baptist, the greatest ever born of women. John the Baptist, the greatest ever born of women. I find it very, very encouraging to pick up certain books and read the life story of individuals and what they accomplished for the Lord. And when we come to God's Word and we read of certain characters, such as people like John the Baptist, find that they are a tremendous inspiration and encouragement to you and to me in our walk with God. Men and women who were strong and did exploits for the Lord. Now many are the characters in God's Word of which we read, and yet when we listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist is unique among them all. And no matter how you look at his life, he is one of the most unique individuals that ever trod the scene of time. He's a sort of unique in his dress, in his mannerism, in his preaching. He's even unique in his conversion. I don't know of anybody who was ever converted like John the Baptist. I don't know of anyone who was ever converted as young as John the Baptist. And of course, the Bible makes it abundantly clear where he was converted and when. And of course, John the Baptist, as you will well know, was converted in his mother's womb. You see, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, speaking again of John the Baptist, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Now we cannot be absolutely sure, but I'm inclined to attach it to what we read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 40. There the Bible says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, John the Baptist, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 7 and the verse 28, Jesus said, among them that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Now, John's ministry was very, very short. And in a brief period of about 6 months, the young prophet of the wilderness, preaching his message of repentance, became the focus of the attention of much people. The Bible tells us that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the soldiers and the sinners, they all came out to hear John the Baptist preaching. They were captivated by his ministry. No doubt they were captivated by his manner of dress. No doubt they were captivated by his particular diet. Probably a diet that a lot of us could do well to get onto. But we'll come to that in a little while. The life and the ministry of John the Baptist was not a self-centered ministry. There was never any hint of promotion of self or self-exaltation. But as F.B. Meyer, writing on this particular subject, he said, John the Baptist left a name, and he left an influence that will never, ever cease out of this world. Jesus said, John the Baptist was the greatest born of women. Jesus said that John the Baptist was a great prophet. You know, sometimes when you and I think about greatness, how do we really assess that? What is the measuring line? You see, the world often confuses greatness with popularity. But does greatness lie in popularity? Does it lie in position? Does it lie in one's power? A.W. Tozer, he said, true greatness lies in character, not in ability or position. Jesus defined John the Baptist as a great prophet, as a great man, no doubt as a great Christian. But what made him such? Was it his popularity as a preaching, though his preaching life was very short? What was it caused this man to stand out unique among all other men? Today, we want to focus our attention upon that man, his relationship with God. And folks, that's one of the most important things in all the world. Now, many things are important, but there's nothing as important as my relationship with God. Everything else is temporal. It's passing and perishing. But this is something eternal. The Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness. So first of all, we want to look at John's preaching. It says he came preaching in the wilderness. In the verse 2, it says that the essence of his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John came at a very, very important moment, because you will understand that between Malachi and the Gospel of Matthew, there's a period of 400 years. And those were 400 years of silence, when the voice of a prophet had not been heard. But then suddenly that silence is broken, because in John chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And again of that man, Jesus said there was none like him. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 11, in the verses 7 through to 9, Jesus, addressing the multitude on that occasion, said this, what went ye out to see? What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. But what went ye out to see? A prophet. Yea, and more than a prophet. So John the Baptist is identified by the Savior himself as the greatest of the prophets. He is that prophet that links the Old Testament with the New Testament. It's he as a prophet and his ministry that is the bridge between the two. And in Luke chapter 16 and the verse 16, the Bible says, the law and the prophets were until John. That's an important verse, folk. You should write it down. You should memorize it. You may well need it one day, as I needed it one day. You see, one day, about 16, 17 years ago, our doorbell rang. There were two men dressed in suits. My wife and I are very, very sharing people. When I saw the two figures standing at the door, I said, you answer the doorbell. And she said, no, you answer the doorbell. You see, there's a wee saying, folks. Christians are known by their fruits. But Mormons are known by their suits. Oh, it was two Mormons standing at the door. And I went out. And that's when I called this verse to question. They had come to talk to me about their kingdom. I said, you are Joseph Smith's men. I said, that's right. He was a great prophet. I said, bunkum. I said, do you believe the Bible? Oh, yes, we believe. And he actually took out of his bag a King James Version. Well, I said, why don't you open that Bible at Luke 16 and 16? He says, what does it say? I said, you read it. Now, I said, you're standing here telling me that Joseph Smith was a prophet, but the Bible says the last of the prophets was John the Baptist. And they read it. And they read it. And they fell into silence. And they said, you know, never really saw that verse before. Do you mind if we go away and come back in a week or so and have a discussion on it? I said, you do that. They've not come back yet. Because there is no discussion of it. John the Baptist was, Jesus said, one of the greatest prophets, and he was the last of the prophets. The law and the prophets were until John. And when John the Baptist stepped onto the platform of the public arena, why, he was a sight to behold. The Bible says he came as a preacher. But he did not look like any other preacher. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4, the same John had raiment of camel's hair, a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts, wild honey. Now, of course, the garments that he wore were really the garments of the prophets. And they were very coarse and rough clothes, but his diet was something else, locusts and wild honey. Now we read in the scriptures, in the days of the plagues in Egypt, about a plague of locusts, but I don't think that's what the Bible is talking about here at all. And probably what the Bible is talking about here is the pod of the carob tree. And that's common in Israel. And of course, it grows almost like a bean pod, though almost black in color. And inside that, you get the carob seed. Now, that's how our gold is weighed, by those carob seeds. That's where we get the word carat gold. 9-carat gold, weighed by the seeds of the locust tree. So John comes unique in his conversion, unique in his dress, preaching the message of repentance. We'll see what that cost him in a moment. But there's not only John's preaching here, but also I want you to notice his message. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Folks, there is no substitute for the message of repentance. Jesus said this, repent or perish. Not popular today. And in Acts 3:19, we read these words, repent and be converted. Note that. Repentance before conversion. And of course, the message of John was simple because that word repent simply means to turn. And John's message to the people of his day was this, that they were to turn around, they were to change direction. Their life was to go in a new direction spiritually. Maybe there's someone here and your life is going in the wrong direction. And is going to finish in sorrow and shame. Maybe you need to repent, you need to turn. Your life needs to go in a new spiritual direction. That was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the message of Christ and the message of Christ's forerunner, they are equally the same. Repent, because Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. So John wasn't cutting corners. And John was not soft-peddling the message. In fact, John was very, very fearless. He even pointed the gospel gun at the religious leaders of his day and says there in verses 7 and 8, when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said, oh, generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Then he challenged them. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Read the story of an old Methodist preacher by the name of Peter Cartwright. One occasion he was preaching, he was an American of course, and while he was preaching, a very, very significant figure slipped into his meeting, and that person was General Jackson. Some of the men sitting behind him in the pulpit tugged the coat of the preacher and whispered up, General Jackson's in the meeting. But Cartwright just ignored it and preached on. Then someone else tugged his coat and he said, Mr. Cartwright, General Jackson's in the meeting. And he carried on preaching. And someone else tugged at his coat and said, Mr. Cartwright, General Jackson's in the meeting. And he got fed up with it and he turned. He said, I don't care who's in the meeting. And if General Jackson's in this meeting, and if he doesn't repent like everyone else, then he'll perish. That was John the Baptist's message. That was Jesus' message. Repent. Be converted. That your sins might be blotted out. The primary purpose of the ministry of John the Baptist was this, to introduce and to point people to Jesus the Messiah. In Matthew 3:3, it says that he was sent to prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And that gives the image of someone who would go before a king or some great individual, would make the necessary preparation for the coming of the king. That's what John was doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preparing the way for the coming of Christ. He was simply telling the people, the Lord is coming. You know, that's a message that needs to be heeded today. Friend, you might say we've heard this message that the Lord is coming from we were knee high and all things continue as they were from the beginning. I want to tell you something. Open your eyes. All things do not continue the same as from the beginning. You and I live in a very fast changing world. Better get this clear. The Lord is coming. And you need to be on the right side. Aren't you glad he hasn't already come? If you are not ready. So one day when John the Baptist was preaching, we read it. Suddenly the Savior appears and John lifts up his hand that day and finished his sermon like every sermon ought to finish by crying, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," and he turned the people to Christ. One of the things that surely made John the man that he was simply this, that he had no other purpose in living, no other message to proclaim, no other deed to perform, but to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to some of his disciples, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And that day when Jesus appeared and John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," then some of his disciples immediately turned and followed Christ, because there only is salvation. But moving on quickly, folks, not only the preaching of John, but the imprisonment of John. You see, John the Baptist was thrown into prison simply because of his preaching the gospel. No other reason. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12, now John, of course, is imprisoned. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. But why was John in prison? Well, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 14 and verses 3 and 4, and also the corresponding chapter to that in Mark chapter 6. The Bible says, "For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John had said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her." And here's the picture. Herod. Of course, Herod thought he could do what he liked. It's a reflection of many a life in Ulster today. People want to be their own person, do their own thing, go their own way, be their own lawmaker. And Herod, he was living in a sinful relationship with his sister-in-law, Herodias, who was his brother's wife. John the Baptist pointed his finger in the face of Herod and said, "It's not lawful for you to live like this. It's wrong." And folks, it is wrong, and it's wrong today. The Bible says Herodias would have killed him. And she didn't like that message. But you know, Herod, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter, or Mark chapter 6, that Herod feared John, and he heard him, and he heard him gladly. In other words, there is some evidence there that Herod reformed his life. He listened to John preaching. He stopped maybe doing certain things, but he never yielded to the Christ that John preached. And then there's this situation, because Herodias had a daughter, and she came in and she danced before the king. It was his birthday. Now, there's children here, and when they have a birthday, they have little birthday presents. When you get to a certain age, you don't tell anybody it's your birthday. You'd be exhausted blowing out the candles. And the birthday party would lie, what, today? Children have a few friends round, a couple of hours, and away home you go. That wouldn't have been the birthday party. This would have went on for days. This would have went on for weeks, maybe 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. And all the aristocracy of the community would have been assembled in the palace. They'd have been drinking and dancing and immorality and all the rest of it. And Herodias had a daughter, and she came in and she danced before Herod. And of course, she could move her body in such a way that would appeal to the baser lusts of sinful men. And Herod fell for it and said, "Whatever you ask, I'll give you, unto the half of my kingdom." And the Bible says he swore unto her. She didn't ask for half of his kingdom. She went to her mother and said, "What shall I ask?" The golden opportunity that Herodias sought. Asked for the head of John the Baptist. The Bible says the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake he swore and that he would give her whatever she asked, and for their sakes which sat with him. Those two things became a major problem. The oath that he made was a foolish oath, and then there were these old cronies sitting about him. And you know, sometimes company can be costly. It was costly in the life of King Herod. And so he sent an executioner, and John was beheaded in prison. You remember when Jesus was on trial? Pilate discovered something. He discovered that Jesus was of the jurisdiction of Herod. So he sent Jesus to Herod, trying to offload the responsibility. And when Herod heard that, he was glad. He was hoping to see some miracle done by Jesus and all the rest of it. And so Jesus is brought in before Herod. And no matter what Herod said, Jesus never spoke. Never spoke. Why? Because anything that Jesus had to say to Herod, he said it through John the Baptist. When Herod sealed John's death, he sold his soul to hell. And heaven became silent. There was no way back. So John is imprisoned. Ultimately, receives the martyr's crown as he's beheaded in prison. But there's one thing I want you to notice, and the time is flying. John's in prison, and before his execution, something happened. It's the problem of doubt. Now, some Christians think there's something wrong with them when they come into trials and difficulties and fears and doubt. Well, the Bible tells us that John began to struggle in prison with this issue. And remember, we're looking at a man who Jesus said was the greatest born of women. Because the Bible says in Matthew 11 and verses 2 and 3, now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Yet it was John who had preached the coming of Christ. This is the Messiah. Now he's asking, are you really the Messiah? And you know, folks, doubts and fears can attack the best of God's people. John is struggling with this here. One commentary says, it is easy to sympathize with John as he suffered in prison. He's a man of the desert, yet he's confined indoors. He was an active man with a divine mandate to preach, and yet he's silenced. And he was not in a place that was conducive to praise or encouragement. Everything about John's situation at that particular time and his surroundings would make it difficult for most people to keep up their spirits. Whatever the case, it's always helpful for God's people to remember that even great people like John the Baptist came into moments of discouragement. And you know, we can be riding the crest of the wave today spiritually and tomorrow. Circumstances could plunge you in to a situation where you're beginning to ask questions. And you will note the answer that Jesus gave to him. Because the Bible says in Matthew 11, 4 and 6, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel reached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended of me. And that settled John's doubt. What settled John's doubt was this: a word from Jesus. And you see, when problems arise in the believer's life, sometimes we pick up a phone and we ring a friend and we talk to somebody. No, I tell you what, you need a word from the Savior. Instead of turning to others, turn to God's word. Get a word from him. And when John got a word from Jesus, the matter was settled. Then, of course, there was that matter of planning his death. And John, of course, won the martyr's crown, beheaded in a prison cell, simply for preaching truth. Surely one of the things that made John the Baptist the man he was this, folks: he would not compromise his message of repentance. He was fearless in his proclamation of it, and in his stand for truth that cost him his life. In standing for truth, it might cost you friends. It might cost you a reputation. But the Bible says, having done all, stand. And our sole purpose as Christians should be to stand for Christ. But let me just conclude, folks, with not only the preaching of John and the imprisonment of John, but the praise of John. And the Bible tells in the book of Proverbs chapter 20 and the verse 6, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? You know, there are some people, haven't you met them? We meet them every day. They love us to hear what they have done. They love to tell us who they are. There's a wee fella comes to prison on a regular basis. And every prisoner he meets, he tells them, I'm related. And this is a big, big, big haulage firm in County Tyrone that he's related to. They barely know he exists, of course. But there's people like that. And that's, you know, how it was with a particular American president. Theodore Roosevelt. His daughter said of him, who was her father, she said, father had to be first the center of attraction no matter where we went. She said this, when my father went to a wedding, he wanted to be the bride. When my father went to a funeral, he wanted to be the corpse so that people would talk about him. And Solomon said, let another praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips. And it wasn't John the Baptist who said he was great. It wasn't the disciples of John the Baptist said he was great. It wasn't the disciples of Jesus Christ that said he was great. It was Jesus said that John is the greatest. And friend, that's the recommendation we want to get. He was called great, but he was called great by the greatest of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his personal assessment of John the Baptist. Matthew 11 and verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Jesus and his disciples were in converse one day, and Jesus said, John is the greatest born of women. It may not have been that as far as human beings were concerned. They put no value on his life whatsoever, and they cut his head off in a prison cell. But Jesus said, John is the greatest. You know, folks, let me conclude with this. The true measurement of anyone's life is never what others think of you and me. The true measurement of your life and mine is what Jesus thinks about you and me. Because you see, those people that applaud you and praise you today, they hound you from your street tomorrow. That's what they did with Jesus. When he was riding into Jerusalem, they cut down the branches of the trees and they took off their coats for him to walk and to ride upon. And they cried, Hosanna in the highest. A few days later, that same crowd were shouting, away with him, crucify him. We are not having this man. And seek nobody's applause but the Savior's. And no doubt that day when John's death was sealed and the act was carried out and he was transported into glory, he would have heard those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Friend, live to get that commendation. To hear the Savior say one day, well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That being said, John was just a man, but made great through his relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, have you a relationship with Christ today? And if not, you can. And those of us who have, we need to foster that relationship Cherish it. For at the end of the day, when death comes, that's all we'll have. Nothing more. John the Baptist, the greatest among women. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we can call upon thee today and address thee as our Father. We thank you for that spiritual birth. We thank you for our relationship with thee. Pray that everyone assembled here will have that relationship, and that one day when we come into thy presence, we'll hear thee say, "Well done." Give us a heart to live for your glory and perfect that which concerns each one. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.